Let us pray. Almighty Lord, we celebrate today the marvelous gift of sainthood that you give to all who follow you in grace and in truth. Lord, thank you for calling us to you through Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. When you first hear the word saints, what sort of things come to mind? If you were from New Orleans or you're a football fan, maybe it's the New Orleans Saints. Or since we're in worship this morning and we hear about saints, well, maybe we think about some of those people in the scriptures. And I've been trying to figure out, this picture supposedly is Saint Simon and Saint Jude. Which is which? I'm going to almost guess this is maybe Peter here, Saint Simon. Or maybe in a more contemporary mode, we may think of the newest saint, Saint Teresa. But then maybe it's just this. People who are there to help. Humanitarian activities. That person down the street who, if you ever have any kind of need, and they always seem to know exactly when that might be, they're right there to help. And we may even say, oh, you're such a saint for doing that. There's lots of different ways in which the word saint is used. But when it comes to the scriptures, there's even another way in. You may have to do it up there, Evan. We found it. All right. There's some more slides here. So. Because in the scriptures, the whole idea of saints and sainthood has nothing to do with football, and it has very little to do really with the followers of Jesus, although that's certainly a part of it in our understanding and interpretation of the scriptures. But it more had to do with those who died in the faith, those who died in the Lord, those who were followers of God's will, who then had died, and then this was their being in the constant presence of God. But Jesus ran into this group of individuals that are represented in the gospel lesson for this morning, the Sadducees. They were part of the aristocracy. They were the more well-to-do individuals in Judaism. And they had some unique understandings of the scriptures, which included that they would only accept the first five books of what we call the Bible today, the Torah, the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Those five books. That's all they accepted. And everything that they understood and believed came out of those five books. They were the ones who really had more responsibility in managing the temple and all of the things that went along with that. They denied the existence of spirits. And the biggest thing, as we gathered from the gospel reading from this morning, is that they denied the resurrection. That there was no such thing as a resurrection from the dead. And so they tell this ridiculous story about, in Jewish law, it said if you married someone and then died, and there were no children, then your brothers had to marry the same person, have children with her, and then those children became your heirs, because then you could pass along everything to your heirs. And there's plenty of examples of that throughout the scriptures of how that played out. Ruth, Naomi, in the Old Testament. And so they tell this ridiculous story about a man who married a woman. They had no children, but he had six brothers. And they all married this woman, and they had no children. And I'm sorry, but I have to say this. I think in one of the most understated things, lines in the scriptures, and Jesus probably kind of said this with almost a smile on his face. He said, "And then the woman died." I think so. After having seven husbands, and they had no children. But after that, then they ask this question, so whose wife will she be in the resurrection? Expecting that everyone are just going to laugh at Jesus when he tries to explain how you had seven husbands and one wife, no children, so whose wife is she? And then he goes on to explain that a little bit more. It's an unusual, unique story in the scriptures. But his main point is at the end, that God is not a God of the dead. And notice he goes all the way back to Moses, the only one the Sadducees really would have had any kind of authority with. He goes back to Moses and he says, "Now Moses said, and talked to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, God is not a God of the dead, but of the living." You know, this whole idea of the resurrection is still kind of a mystery today. I put this in here because this is a psychic medium, Matt. I don't know who that guy is, but he's a psychic, he's a medium, and he says there is life after death, and it's beautiful. It's a place where happiness abides and all are healed and they're all reunited. There are so many strange ideas about the resurrection and about life after death. Whether you've been there and you come back, whether it's reincarnation, whether there's all sorts of different permeations of this whole thing. But Jesus wants us, and on this All Saints Sunday, really wants us to understand just two things. First of all, there is a resurrection. There is life after death, what we see as death. And then second of all, and how do we get it? How does it become ours? On All Saints Sunday, how can we talk about saints? A lot of times we talk about the saints among us. We're going to talk about the second question first. These two gentlemen, Francis Chan and Bob Goff, are contemporary Christian authors and speakers and evangelists and pastors. And they had some interesting things. Do you know that nothing you do in this life will ever matter unless it is about loving God and loving the people He has made? We talk about people who are saints today because of what they have done. Does that make them a saint in God's eyes? Or Bob Goff? Jesus spent his whole life engaging the people most of us have spent our whole lives trying to avoid. That's a powerful statement. But even that, is that what makes a saint, engaging the people that we instead have often tried to avoid? There are some who would say that today. who would say, if I really go out there and I try and engage these people, the ones that nobody really likes, the destitute, those who are really, everyone walks around them, then I'm being saintly. Or if I continue to do these things and live my life and just do all the good things that I can do, and I can look back and say, boy, am I been a good person, then God is certainly going to call me a saint. And Jesus says, no. None of those things gets you or me sainthood. The fact that we can talk about the saints among us, what we do is not what Jesus says, is not what gets us to heaven, is not what God looks at and says, boy, are you so good, I'm going to give you a place in my heaven. In fact, it is entirely different. Our understanding of what Jesus has already done for us, as we come in truth and in grace and in faith and we believe in Christ, it's because of what Christ has already done for us that that's how we do these sort of things. What people see in us, in whatever we do, the fact that we do a Thanksgiving meal is in no way, in no means, a way of saying, look, God, we're doing something good for you and for other people. It's because of what Jesus has already done for us. His acceptance of us that says, we want to share this with others. But then Jesus also talks about the second or the first question. There is a resurrection from the dead. In a few moments, we're going to recite the Nicene Creed. And in the Nicene Creed, it's not quite as evident as it is in the Apostles' Creed when we talk about believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. The joyous gathering of the saints here on earth, those who are followers and believers in Jesus, and those who have gone before us. Over the last number of years, for a long time, ever since we moved into this facility, from time to time we will have a baptism in the chapel. And over the last year or so, maybe year and a half, all of a sudden I started, because those are usually small gatherings, and there's a place in the baptismal service that says, all right, now you are welcoming this new individual, this new saint, into the body of Christ, into the Christian church. And there's usually maybe just a handful of people who are there. And over the last about year and a half, I've started to say, you know, you are representing the whole church, but then so are these. And I point to all the stained glass windows in the chapel. Those are more than just stained glass windows. That's part of the communion of saints. And so David and Elijah and Paul and Stephen and Peter, they are a part of that witnessing community that in baptism God calls us, and in the power of the resurrection he forgives sins and he says, you are now my child. You are now my individual. You are now my saint. And when I call you home, there is more to life than what you have seen here. In fact, best is yet to come. Some of you may have read this story. This one was a new one to me over the last, probably the last month. It appeared at least in guideposts, and I don't know where else it has appeared. But the story goes, and whether this is true or not, I really don't know. And it really doesn't matter. But maybe it is an actual account of a young woman who found out that she had 3 months to live. And so she went to talk to her pastor, and they were planning her funeral service. And she said, during the time of the viewing, when I'm there in the casket, I want to make sure that I'm buried with a fork in my hand. And the pastor, and I've never had anyone tell me that yet, but it may come anyway. But a fork in your hand. He was kind of puzzled over that. And she said, yeah. She said, when I was growing up, my mom and my grandma and other people would always say, as they were cleaning up after dinner, they would say, now keep your fork, because the best is yet to come with dessert. I just thought that was a marvelous story, that her last testimony, even after her physical death, her last testimony was, but the best is yet to come. And this All Saints Sunday, we're going to be remembering the saints who have gone before us this year, who have died, and we're going to remember that they now are experiencing the best. And that you and I now, regardless of how saintly we are here and now, all know that the best is yet to come. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for that wonderful best gift, eternal life with you, and that you give it to us freely through your Son, Jesus, that you freely put upon him all of our sin, all of our misdeeds, all of our misunderstandings, and instead you give us everlasting life, and you call us saints. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.